Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your neat parent host, Zakaria. Inshallah, everyone's doing well. And we have a wonderful guest here with us today. And I'm going to ask her to introduce herself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. My name is Dr. Shakira Abdullah. I also am known as the Halal Sexpert, and I provide the Muslim Ummah with sexuality education from an Islamic perspective.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. So do you like to be referred to as Dr. Abdullah or the Halal Sexpert?
Well, it helps me. I wear multiple hats, so it helps me figure out what are you about, like formulate in my mind, like where do you know me from, or what's the question you're about to ask. So for this, I will go by either the Halal Sexpert or Dr. Shakira.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Could you please tell us your Oman account?
I have three.
Mashallah.
Three beautiful children.
Mashallah. Boys or girls or mixed?
Mixed. So I have two boys. I have a 12-year-old, and then my newest addition is 10 months.
Mashallah.
And then I have a daughter who is 5 years old.
Mashallah, mashallah. Yeah, I have 5-year old too. That's I call him a boss.
Yes. She's the mom. She's everything.
Yeah. Five is very, it's an interesting age. Mashallah, mashallah. And could you please give us a little bit more about yourself and your multiple hats that you wear and your background, and tell us about your work?
Yes. So my day job is I am a nursing professor, a full-time nursing professor at Widen University in Pennsylvania, where I teach undergraduate and graduate students. I'm also a primary care provider as a family nurse practitioner, where I take care of everyone from the womb to the tomb in their primary care needs. So I love that. I see patients 1 or 2 days a week, depending on my schedule. And then I'm also a student. I'm also a PhD student. This is my last year, alhamdulillah, of coursework. And then I finally get to jump into my dissertation, which is going to be with Muslim parents. So stay tuned for that.
May Allah grant you success in your studies.
Ameen.
That's great. And then could you tell us the motivation behind starting the Halal Sexpert? I don't want to call it the brand, but just maybe the services that you provide with as the Halal Sexpert?
Yes. Well, it actually started off when I was getting my doctoral degree in nursing. So it's a clinical doctorate, but we did have to do a study at the end of it. And I met this phenomenal woman in Chicago. Her name was Dr. Loretta Sweet Jamat. And she was doing a lot of innovative type studies with sexuality education in barbershops and hair salons. And then she did one in a church. So that's what I was like, oh my God, I have to do one in a masjid. So I like chased her down at a conference, and she said she would help me. And she actually lived in Philadelphia, so she was closer to me. And she helped me. I used one of her curriculums and I infused it with Quran and Sunnah. I had different imams and scholars look at it to make sure it was all in accordance with Quran and Sunnah. And then we actually implemented this curriculum in a masjid in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, it worked. It was great. It was phenomenal. The kids loved it. They thank me still to this day. And after I did that, on my school, I was going to Rutgers University at the time in New Jersey, and they wrote an article about me. And I wasn't on social media at the time because I was just so into school, but it kind of went viral on social media and on Facebook, I think. And then so many different like imams and community leaders and conferences everywhere was reaching out to me like, oh, you have to come to our conference, our master, you need to do this. Our children need this. And it was just like, they put me on this pedestal that I wasn't really ready. You know, I was just trying to graduate. This was something fun that I wanted to do because, you know, with my personal story, if you want to know about that. And then just, I feel like this was something that our community needed. So then from that study, and when I graduated, you know, everyone was saying, well, what are you going to do now? You can't just stop, you know, with the study. So that led me to start a nonprofit organization called Love Beyond Love, where we did sexuality education for just Muslim youth. So our target audience was between the ages of, I would say, maybe 13, 14 to like 2021, when we did a lot of like in-person type workshops. But then all my youth were saying, you know, Dr. Shakira, I can only talk to you about sex. You're the only one. I can't go to my parents. Like they would yell at me. They would not know how to answer my questions, or I don't, you know, have that relationship with them. And I was like, well, there's only one of me. Like that's not good. Like we need to talk to our Muslim parents. And I reflected on how my parents talked to me about sex. And I was like, well, they really didn't. and well, just having
that's the classic thing for parents, right?
Yeah. It's like this classic thing that parents are just like, oh, we're just going to send them to your workshops. It's like, Okay, they're going to have questions after they attend my workshops. They're going to have different experiences every day with their bodies and different experiences. So sexuality, the topic is very broad, so it encompasses so much. And I can't cover all of that in one workshop or two workshops or three or whatever. It's they need someone who they can go to. Yeah. So that is when the Halal Sexpert was born. It originally was just for parents. It was just for Muslim parents to really build that connection with their children and how to talk to them about sexuality. Because my first course was actually Halal Sex Talks, which was all about teaching Muslim parents how to talk to their children about sex. But then my single friends who don't have children yet, some of them are married, but they don't have children yet. And they're just like, well, what about us? Like, we need sex education too. Like, you can't just, like, we didn't get it when we were growing up. We don't, you know, we don't have the luxury of taking your talks class to how to talk to our children. So we kind of get it too. It's like, we need stuff too. So that's when I just started. I kind of rebranded, and it was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to educate the entire Muslim Ummah, where I have something for everyone, whether you're a youth, whether you're a parent, whether you're single, whether you're a married couple, like I have something for you, because sexuality is broad. Like I can touch on all those different audiences. So yeah, it's exciting. It's fun. I love it. Alhamdulillah.
Wow, mashallah, Allahu Mubarak, may Allah bless you with for giving beneficial information to our ummah.
Ameen.
So did you have or what was the Islamic perspective that you strive to achieve or that you currently still strive to achieve in your field?
Really just helping Muslims recognize that Islam is such a sex positive religion. Like I know that we have our own cultural baggage, but kind of trying to help separate the difference between, you know, this is the way we've always done it, or this is the way that I grew up versus the right way, and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to emphasize things like foreplay and emphasize things on how to have conversations with our children about their bodies and building a connection with them. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to play with them for 7 years and teach them for 7 years and then befriend them for 7 years. So I use that framework to actually teach parents how to talk to their children about their bodies and relationships and every other thing that sexuality kind of encompasses. So my goal was kind of like getting away from this shameful and taboo view of sex and sexuality for Muslims, because that's not a part of us.
Yeah, totally. Because all of us, that's how it's predominantly viewed. And you're absolutely right that it almost has this taboo, regardless of your ethnic background, but it's just like within the religion, it's almost like, well, we can't talk about it. But it's like, how did we get here?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
At the same time, it's so relevant because like teaching our kids like Usul, or teaching our kids like who have started, or the females in our lives who have started menstruating, you know, and what does that mean beyond just like, okay, now you're menstruating. Like it also means so many things within our religion that like you can have kids. You can, you know, this can happen to you, and you also have to be ready to pray and make muscle. And so, you know, there's so many things that kind of come with that. But is there some different approach that you take with the males? Because, you know, they're not menstruating, but they may have the wet dreams, and then also they may be.
Absolutely. They're both both, you know, boys and girls both go through puberty. They're both going through different changes that are not just physical. So also addressing like the social changes, the emotional changes, helping them navigate through different things. Yeah. For boys, they still need to learn how to make a ghusl. They still should know about menstruation. Yeah. I know Muslim parents who, Muslim moms, who when they're menstruating during Ramadan and they kind of like hide it, like sneak and eat or I've heard these stories and this is like, it was like, oh, I don't want him to know, you know, he's a boy. Just like, aren't you preparing him to be, inshallah, one day a great husband, or he may have daughters? Like, he should not look at this. And then, you know, menstruation should never be viewed as this dirty thing either. Like, this is a beautiful thing that if mom didn't have a menstrual cycle, you would not be here. Like, it's a blessing from Allah. Like, this is a gift. This is beautiful. This is something that we should honor. Yes, it's private. It's a private matter for women when they are menstruating. So you don't, you know, ask questions. You know, when they say they're not praying, you just let them know they're not praying and let me tell you why. Yeah. Let me tell you what's going on in their bodies. So I definitely teach parents how to talk to boys as well about menstruation and also about their bodies and when they need to make a ghusl, if they have a wet dream. Yeah. In different instances as their bodies are changing, understanding their own body, so their penis size and body positivity and affirming how they feel, answering their questions, because their bodies, both of their bodies are changing. I mean, daughters and sons, and being able to, you know, ease their fears. They think something's wrong with them. You know, all of a sudden this happened. They're getting hair in places that they never expected to have hair. It's just like, what is going on with me? Something is wrong. Like, I don't know where to go to. Yeah. And, you know, it's nerve wracking. So it's important for us as parents to ease their fears, to be identified as that go-to person that, you know, I trust this person. I can talk to my mom. I can talk to my dad about this, about that. They're going to help me. They're not going to be mad at me that I have this question. Is the first step.
Yeah. And then I was just going to correct myself because I realized that I was remiss to not say that also females experience wet dreams, because people think of it as like a male thing, like, oh, you know, it's only males who have wet dreams. But there was a Sahaba, don't quote me exactly, but there was a Sahaba who approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking about what to do because she had a wet dream. And the women, the female Sahabas were mad at her, like, you're exposing us. You know? But it's like, you know, she's, you know, she needs to be real. And she's asking like a legitimate question. And then she wants to be a good Muslima. And, you know, alhamdulillah, she did ask, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to give her the same response that we know is the same for males, that we're going to handle it the same way that males also have wet dreams. And it's acknowledging that women have wet dreams, and females, who knows at what age it may start, but just them having that knowledge is important. Because I totally, something that I just wanted to correct myself and add, that also females experience that. I don't want to allude to the fact that it's only males, because that is probably a common
misconception.
Totally. Yeah, thank you.
yes. And then even that story that you shared, it just shows how there was not this culture of, you know, don't talk about it, don't ask. Like, this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a messenger of God, and I need to ask him a question about my body. And it wasn't like this hush hush shameful thing. It was like, okay, let me answer your questions, like a very matter of fact type of scenario. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we all love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it just was another example of how, you know, like you said, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very compassionate and listening, a good listener, you know, and acknowledging that of women, their needs. So is there, I'm just gonna transition a little bit into just maybe some of the parenting challenges, since you did mention you have children, alhamdulillah, you have children. And are there any challenges that you've experienced yet? And if so, how did you resolve it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Children are going to have questions about their bodies and see different things that we are not expecting them to experience at all different ages. I call them teachable moments, where they're unexpected situations or unexpected questions that your children have that are pretty much a surprise to you. So all of my children, except my 10-month-old yet, because he can't talk yet. But, well, actually, Funny story with him too. But anyway, I have a few with my 12-year-olds. My 12-year-old, when he was, I want to say 4 or 5, he was really concerned with me one day when I was ministrating, so I wasn't praying, and he was like, why can't you pray? Like, we have to get these blessings, mommy. Like, why aren't you praying? I don't understand. Like, he was very concerned. So we did have a conversation about ministration, what happens. And it was just kind of like, okay, that happens. I understand, but then we had to have another conversation about privacy because he thought it was common knowledge to everyone. So he was just like, every time I was not praying, you would let it be known to everyone, oh, mommy's bleeding, she can't pray right now. Like, okay, we're not gonna do that. It's a private matter. This is, yes, this is beautiful. I'm happy you're not ashamed of it or anything like that, but this is private.
It's their fitra. They're so honest, mashallah. Sometimes too honest. They're so innocent.
Yes.
They're fitra,
That my 5-year-old, when she was 4, I was pregnant with my 10-month-old. So of course she had questions like, I've been making dua to have a baby and I'm not pregnant yet. Why am I not pregnant? I want to have a baby so bad. And then it was like, okay, well, this is a gift from Allah. Baby is a gift from Allah. And this happens, when this happened to me because, I'm in a relationship, I'm married. It happens, inshallah, one day when you get married. And it's like, well, I want to get married now. Then can you find me a husband? It's like, oh, you have to get old. So we just had a conversation about how, she's going to change, she's going to get older, she's going to mature, and then inshallah, one day we'll find her husband. We also took time to look at the story of the prophet Noah to, and that's how I explained to her what happens, how we have two different, how the prophet Noah used, how Allah commanded him to have the sexes of the two different animals, in order to mate and in order to have, populate the earth afterwards. So we looked at that story. We talked about how, the man and the woman, in this example, would be me and daddy, and Allah blessed us together with this child. So you can't have just one, you need to have, both together, during the time, and then have this child. So we talked about that, so she understands that.
That's
And
great. I like
then,
that. I'm gonna steal that.
oh,
Thank you. Mashallah.
yeah, I talk about this a lot in my, so giving her that basic knowledge, that basic foundation, where did babies come from? I didn't have to lie, just basic information. I didn't have to go into anything about intercourse at this age because she's too young. But as she gets older, she has more questions. I can still be share it in a matter of fact way about how mommy has ovaries, daddy had sperm, they mix together, and that's how, I got so that way. And then you kind of build on the knowledge as they get older until they're ready to probably around 11, 12, when we actually talk about intercourse and what happens. So just building on that from a young age is important.
Totally. That's great. Do you think we should wait? Because you mentioned how your daughter felt comfortable asking you, or just because you were pregnant, that presented the situation for her to ask. Or your son, how he was able to notice that you weren't praying. So do you think parents should wait for their kids to
So,
ask, or just kind of like say, mommy's not praying, mommy's not fasting today because of this? Or should we wait for them to say, mommy, why are you not fasting?
there's different ways to do it. I think sexuality conversations should start at 3. At age of 3, you can introduce basic things like the appropriate names of their body parts. You can talk to them about the body safety rules, that this is your body. No one's allowed to see your body naked or play with your body or take pictures of your body. And kind of in this way, we're protecting them from sexual abuse. This is a real thing that happens. And then also teaching them about consent, teaching them who's a safe person who you can talk to. So you want to include yourself, you want to include another guardian, if you want to include the doctor. I would identify 3 people at that age. And then as they get older, there's a slew of other sexuality topics, but kind of just starting with that. So that way, if and when they do have these questions, or if and when something happens, maybe you're not pregnant, but you have a sister who's pregnant, or you have someone in the family, or it's a way for you to introduce the topic as they get older and you're kind of building on the knowledge that you already gave them.
Yeah.
But it's a great, so you don't want to give them too much at one time. So I think building on information, like they're taking a bath or they're playing with their toys, like their dolls, you can play it. Children learn through play. So you can introduce topics about, you know, their body parts and the names, just like you say, you know, this is your nose, this is your eyes, this is your vulva, this is your penis, this is your chest, this is your breast, this is your elbow, their body parts. You know, a law created these private parts. These are your private parts, though. They should be private. This is only for you. Everyone shouldn't see this. And also always emphasizing how we are grateful to Allah for these, grateful to Allah for these amazing bodies and how we're able to, alhamdulillah, we're able to walk, we're able to talk, and just always bringing it back to the love of Him. I think it's also very important that I emphasize in my course.
That's awesome. MashaAllah, jazakallah khair for that. And that would be a little bit more of what you want parents to know, or is there something in particular you want parents to know that they should or shouldn't wait for their kids to bring it up? Or is there something additional? You've already shared a plethora of valuable information. I just wanted to know, was there something additional that you want Muslim parents to know?
I would definitely incorporate, like I said, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, incorporating prophetic stories like I did with the Prophet Noah, just really solidifying that foundation of love for their religion, not just giving them a list of, as Muslims, this is halal, this is haram, like this, that's not sex education, that's not what I want you to do. Because look at your children as new shahadas, right? Think about a new shahada that you met, or maybe you yourself was a new shahada one day. You're accepting Islam. Yes, I know I'm Muslim, but it takes time for the religion to really enter your heart, right? And it's just same thing for our children. You don't want to just scare them and give them this list. They're not really ready to accept all of that yet. Think about how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation and he received rulings and things like that gradually. So they will get that, especially as they get older. But when they're young, you really just want to focus on like Allah is kind of like just being in awe of Him and like pondering over, reflecting over, like, oh, look at the tree, look at the sun, look at this, look at that, look at your body, and just really like just being in awe of it and just showing like, wow, subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us so much, and just getting them excited and happy about building a relationship with God, right? And loving it. And then I would challenge parents to reflect on their personal view of sex and sexuality and how sex education is not just limited to vaginal penetration. It's not just limited to intercourse. It's way beyond that. Sexuality is way beyond that. It involves, you know, learning about our bodies, learning about relationships, learning about healthy relationships, healthy communication, learning about menstruation, puberty, pornography, so much, so many different things. Ways to that our children may come in contact with, you know, if your child has a tablet or your child has a smartphone, it's a mini computer in their pocket that they can accidentally come across different things. They can see things. They have friends whose parents may have different values than you. And there's a plethora of ways. So you want to be ready to answer your children's questions, to address their concerns, to talk to them about different things instead of just, you know, close your eyes. You don't want to see this. It's like, no, let's have a conversation about this. Like, let's, how can I have a deeper discussion where, you know, it's going to engage you and empower you and also keep you connected to Allah. So think critically about those different situations, and then also reflect back on your own sexuality education that you received. Maybe it wasn't from your parents, maybe it was from your friends growing up, maybe it was from teachers or whoever, and kind of reflect back as to what was good about that you want to pass down. Maybe it's only one or two things you can think of, and also focus on what was missing that you feel like, you know, I wish I would have known that when I was a child, and think about those things and definitely include that in your sexuality education that you're going to give to your children.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Jazakallah khair. That one is great, because at the end of the day, whether you have one child or if you have 20 children, you know, we all know that each child is different, mm-hmm. and each child is an individual, and they will enter their different phases at different times. And sometimes they may not ask the question. So some folks might look at it exactly how you said, like, well, this is how I was raised. We didn't talk about it until I was, you know, at the nikah or like at the walima. You're like, or some folks might have been like, let's talk about it. You know, let's start with, I saw on your Instagram page, you had one post about just making ghusl, like even incorporating or understanding what ghusl is, even just for Juma, even if they're mm-hmm. like five, like just understanding something called ghusl. And that is like a valuable tip, because it's just like, oh yeah, you're like, I should even teach them that, rather than just like, oh, you just need to wash up, or you need to just wash your face. Like, no, there's something actually called ghusl, like, you know, and that what that involves and what that includes, and kind of like the building blocks for what's later to come in about, you know, 5 to 6 years when they're a teenager or when they're in puberty. So I thought that was great. And I wanted to know, was there anything that was a tip? I know if we could get a preview of some of your classes and courses that you have, was there something like a particular tip that you give to your class attendants, to your students, or the people who enroll, the parents who enroll in your courses?
Workshop? I gave you a lot already, but yes, definitely. I guess another tip, well, like you said, you know, our children are a huge amana from us, from Allah, a huge trust that was put in our hands from. So it's a gift, and it's also a huge responsibility. So I would not look at it in a way where you're afraid, where you're like paralyzed and you don't know where to go, and you feel like, I'm just not going to talk to them about this. I would challenge you to look at it as, yes, Allah gave me this responsibility, but he also is not going to put a burden on me that I can't bear. And he gave me this specific child for a reason, that you can do this, that you are their parents for a specific reason, so that you can parent them in the best way. You can talk to them about sex and sexuality. They need it from you, especially in this day and age, and to protect them from abuse, to protect them from, you know, their friends, to empower them through their bodies and not shame them, so that we're building a legacy with them being, inshallah, one day amazing mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, building these strong, amazing families. So we've been building strong communities, and it all starts off with you kind of setting a standard and recreating your generational cycle with around sex and sexuality education. So
Jazakallah khair. That's great. I think that at the end of the day, we're always trying our best, whether we have one kid or 20 kids, we're always trying mm-hmm. our best to just make sure they have what they need. And just remembering that this is something they actually need, which is knowledge. It's always good to seek knowledge. And then the fact that they need this knowledge, in particular, mm-hmm. your field okay. is a great, great, great thing. And especially knowing that there's someone out there who can kind of alleviate that stress, because it is an anxiety provoking and stressful for parents to know that, like, I know I have to teach my kid this, or they have to learn this, but I don't want to do it. So mm-hmm. how can folks reach you for your services? Because I'm sure that your emails will be, your email box will be full and your DMs and your voicemail box, because I mean, folks want to reach you. I mean, are you only available in Philadelphia or?
No. So no, alhamdulillah, and I'm here to help you do that. So I have a parent course, and I have courses from all over the country, all over the world. So Australia, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Morocco, all over the world. So alhamdulillah, I love them all. And so now the course used to be a live course where we met every week, and I used to have different cohorts. Now the course is actually offered online as a self-paced course, because we ran into problems with time zones and availability and stuff like that. So with the self-paced course, I personally record my video for you. So you have a weekly video and Take-home points are like different things I have you try with your children. And it's for if you have children between the ages of 3 to 21. So something for everyone. On how to what is age-appropriate content for them specifically at their age group, how to best talk to them, because it's not just about what we're teaching them, but it's how we teach it. It's going to make a huge impact. We want to be empowering. We want to reach them at their proper developmental level. We want to know what age-appropriate content looks like. We want to know how to address teachable moments when they happen. So the course you can find. Best way, I guess, to find me is through my Instagram page. So I'm at the Halal Sexpert. And on my Instagram page, if you click the link in my bio, I have all my courses that I offer. But the one that I'm talking specifically for parents is called Halal Sex Talks. And it's all about educating Muslim parents on how to talk to their children and teens about sex and sexuality in a way that's going to keep them connected to God, inshallah.
Inshallah, that's wonderful. And what is the I guess I would say, what is your favorite, if you can say, because you know that's definitely a personal preference, but what's your favorite way in which you like to teach or offer your services? Is it in person, or is it just the since you mentioned the self-paced is new, so you probably may not have enough feedback yet, but inshallah you will, and may Allah make that also a successful endeavor and beneficial for many as well. I mean, and then but from the past up until the present, what has been like your best kind of personal preference way to offer your services?
I mean, whichever way, to me, the most important thing is reaching the people who need me. So I guess online has created that availability, that accessibility where I can reach people from all over the world and Muslims from all over the world who need my help. And then I also like doing things in person. So getting invited to different places and traveling back. We just started back traveling again, I think in August. Going across the country has also been fun to see people, you know, their faces and everything as I'm delivering information and answering their questions to
Sure.
that personal piece. But I still try to create that in my online workshops and trying to be as engaging and interactive as possible. So I don't really have an answer. I guess both. I really like both of them. But for me, the most important thing is being able to reach you wherever you are.
Yeah, that's super important. Yeah, jazakallah khair for that. It's definitely good. And inshallah, you have a book coming out, or is it already out?
Yes, so I do have an ebook coming out. So that is more for singles and married people. That's another aspect of sexuality, but not really for parenting.
Not for parenting. Okay. Well, it's definitely great to have someone who has the expertise and then the plethora of information available for our Muslim ummah, our ummah, and then also for those children who will grow up and may not be married yet, but they're, you know, 21, 22, they're an adult. So that's good to know that, and they're still Muslim. So it's good to know that you have resources available for the parents, the kids, and single folks and newlyweds without kids, right? Something for
Absolutely.
everyone, something for everyone. Well, definitely, I will put your information in our in this podcast. Excuse me, I'm having spaghetti brain today. Sorry about that. In this podcast, information details, and I will link your information to your Instagram. And then also that has your website in there as well.
Yes.
So the folks can reach you best through Instagram.
Yes. Well, because the website is through Shopify.
Oh, okay.
It's really long. I mean, I'll give you the link. I'll send you the links that you can post it at the end, I guess, with
And I'll
the podcast.
incorporate. Yeah.
Yeah, so we can do that.
Okay. All right, inshallah, we'll get that done. We definitely want folks reaching you. We definitely, I may Allah make it something that's beneficial for many years to come, many individuals, particularly our Muslim ummah, and inshallah, those who have benefited May they be also rewarded for seeking the knowledge and the information that you had to share that is pertinent for our dean, like just being able to remember that we have this wonderful dean, that we have to just be mindful of so many things. And I think being educated, knowledge is definitely, it's in the Quran. Oh Lord, increase me in knowledge, right? So Jazakallah khair for your time and your information that you shared. It's completely priceless. The Neat Parent community is mostly in Western countries. I hate saying Western, but I'll just say like English speaking countries, Australia, England, North America. But inshallah, we will be expanding and the reach will be further, but we just all are appreciative of your time and your valuable information. May Allah reward you in both worlds with great things. Allah, may Allah make it always beneficial and make you successful in your endeavors.
Ameen. Thank you for having me.
Jazakallah khair. And at this, we're going to end this wonderful conversation and have the information linked below for our listeners and our Neat Parent community. And at this, we will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.